Chapter 7
Lionel, quick, quick, Aunt Mamie shouted as he approached his house. Your mom's on the phone.
Lionel ran the last steps to the front door and dashed into the kitchen to grab the phone. Mom usually called only on weekends, but once in a while she'd get a window of time to use the phone and make a surprise call.
Hi, Mama,
Lionel said as soon as Kendra gave him the phone. Her eyes were blotchy and red as she handed it to him. There was a usual delay of several seconds as his voice reached her on the other side of the world.
Hi, baby,
she said then, a sound that filled Lionel with emotion.
How are you?
I'm fine, he said, unsure how to answer her question, standing in the middle of the kitchen with his sister and aunt nearby.
I miss you.
The line was quiet again. He imagined her standing in a sea of sand, the sun beating down on her with relentless dry heat. The phone crackled in his ear, and there was her voice again.
I miss you too, Lionel. You don't know how good it is to hear your voice. How's Blueford going? Kendra tells me you're reading poetry in school.
Lionel felt his face burn. Why did Kendra have to tell her about that?
It's true, he said. I read Langston Hughes.
Even though it was a lie, he knew it would make her happy. She cheered on the other end of the phone. Then he heard her telling someone what he just said. He could hear the pride in her voice. It scalded him like hot water, a burn of shame.
And are you taking care of your father like we promised? I need you to do that while I'm away.
Yeah, I'm looking out for him, Lionel said as Aunt Mimi passed in front of him and grabbed some juice from the refrigerator for Sahara. For a second, Lionel saw the aluminum tray Denise had given them. He turned away, feeling strange just looking at it. He wondered whether he should mention it to Mom, though he didn't know what he would say. Just then there was noise on the other end of the phone, and Lionel could hear his mother talking to someone.
Baby, I have to go, but I just want to tell you how good it is to hear your voice. Sometimes it's the only thing that keeps me going over here, she said, pausing for a second. I can't wait to get back home and see you all again.
Lionel felt a tightness in his throat and his eyes getting moist. He turned so no one could see his face.
Me too, Mama,
he said, leaning into the wall, wishing somehow he could just reach through the phone and hug her.
Be safe.
She said goodbye then. Lionel said it too, but the phone clicked and went dead before he could finish the words. She was gone. That night at dinner, Lionel asked Aunt Mimi the question that had been on the tip of his tongue since Sunday afternoon. They were eating dinner, and Dad was away until Friday with a delivery.
Do you know Denise?
Aunt Mimi was cutting up a potato for Sahara, who sat in her high chair next to Lionel. Kendra was on the opposite side of the table.
Not really. I spoke to her on the phone once or twice, that's all, she said quickly.
She calls here? Lionel asked, nearly dropping his fork at the news. Why hadn't anyone told him?
Yeah, so? Lots of people call here while you're at school, she said, watching as Sahara scooped some of the potato into her mouth. She seems nice.
What's she want?
Lionel, I didn't ask her a million questions,
his aunt explained, her brow wrinkling the way it always did when she got annoyed.
She asked for your father, that's all. Why? What's your problem?
I ain't got no problem, he huffed, careful to hide his thoughts. Aunt Mimi hadn't seen how Dad acted when Denise visited. If she had, Lionel figured she'd be as alarmed as he was.
But don't you think it's strange that she's bringing us food? It ain't like we're starving. She's probably just being friendly, that's all. Nothing wrong with that, his aunt added. Besides, I know one thing about her. She makes a mean macaroni and cheese.
Lionel got up from the table then, not even finishing his dinner. He didn't want to argue with Aunt Mimi or worry his sister, but in his mind he could still see the way Dad looked at Denise, as if she was a secret he needed to hide. Why? He raced into his room and crashed on the bed, staring at his Lakers poster overhead, his mind spinning with confusion. A few minutes later, he heard a knock at his door. It was Kendra.
What's up? He said. I don't know. You're making me think something's wrong. Why were you asking so many questions?
He could see she was worried. The last time she'd come to his room looking worried was when gunshots went off in the middle of the night up the street and Dad was away.
Just don't worry about it, Kendra.
We was just talking, that's all, he said, trying to calm her.
I mean, what's the big deal if they talk or go out once in a while? She asked.
Go out? Kendra nodded and admitted that she'd heard Dad talking on the phone and agreeing to meet Denise one Friday night 2 weeks ago. Lionel was stunned, his heart pounding at the news.
Why didn't you tell me?
I don't know, she said, shaking her head. I guess I didn't want to think about it. They're probably just friends, right? Kendra asked. Lionel could hear her question hang in the air. She wanted him to reassure her, to tell her not to worry.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure that's what it is, he said. It was the best he could do, and it seemed to work. After a few seconds, she sighed and left, leaving Lionel with a splitting headache. He hoped he was wrong about Dad, but his gut wouldn't let him believe it. Dad going out without telling them, being late every Friday, and acting so strangely when Denise was at the door. It all pointed to one conclusion. Denise was more than a friend. Their family was coming apart, with Mom thousands of miles away. Lionel leaned back on his mattress and gazed up at the poster hanging over his bed, a black and white snapshot of a dunk. His NBA dream. It was his only answer to the storm in his mind, his fears about Dad, and his growing troubles at school. He thought of the assignment Mrs. Henley would be collecting in 2 days. There was no way he could write an essay that would pass in her class. Unless he was copying someone else's work, his writing was filled with more spelling mistakes than anything else. And 4 pages? How could he possibly write that much about anything? Too stupid for school, the old voices mocked him. But school was stupid, too. Who cared about algebra and momentum and papyrus? Why did any of that matter? And yet there was that moment in English class he could not escape. It repeated in his head like a song he didn't want to remember.
Excellent, Lionel. You read that beautifully.
That instant he connected with the words in a book, a poem about how dreams die or explode when they go unfulfilled. In that moment, school made sense, like a shot arcing through the hoop. In that moment, he belonged in class with Malika and everyone else. Lionel reached under his bed and grabbed one of the dusty notebooks Aunt Mimi bought him at the start of the school year. He turned to the first page and drew a basketball banner just like the ones hanging in the Bluford High School gym. He took his time to get the seams just right as his eyes began to get heavy. Lionel's dream, he wrote underneath the picture just before he drifted off to sleep. He was alone on the darkened court then. The Bluford gym was black except for a single spotlight that beamed down over a basket in front of him. The ball was in his hands, and he knew what he had to do. It was his turn to dunk. He prepared his approach, dribbling around to get his feet set just right, and then he ran forward. 3 big steps. The takeoff. His vertical was better than ever. He rose and rose until his head was well over the rim and he could see the glass in front of him. Only it was a mirror. His reflection was inside it, moving in slow motion. But it wasn't alone. Surrounding him in the darkness of the mirror were faces staring back at him. Dad, Russell, Miss Walker, Jamar. And there were other figures in the background trying to muscle out of the glass, but they were stuck. Faceless, shadowy ghosts. Using all his strength, he slammed the ball through the hoop, a thunderous dunk. Crack. He was falling then, but something was terribly wrong. He thought the glass behind the rim had shattered. Instead, it was him. He had been in the glass and destroyed himself. Pieces were crashing down everywhere, broken bits of the world he knew, and he fell with them and in them, watching as his own legs exploded into jagged shards on the concrete, then his stomach, his chest, his face. Deafening blackness. Lionel woke up covered in sweat, his heart pounding. The nightmare was gone, but the cloud of dread it left behind hung in the dark room through the long, siren-filled night.